Welcome to the 2% Solution Podcast, where we uncover the minor adjustments that spark major transformations in our lives. Today's episode features a special guest and a really great friend of mine, Brent Dowlin of thefallibleman.com. He's also the dynamic host of the Fallible Man podcast, as well as the founder of the Phoenix Conference. Brent's story is a compelling narrative of resilience, personal growth, and the relentless pursuit of living a life filled with purpose and passion. Through his platform, fallibleman.com, and his podcast, Brent dives into the realities of being fallible and how embracing our flaws can lead to our greatest achievements. Whether you're in search of strategies to overcome personal obstacles, insights into cultivating a growth mindset, or inspiration to make meaningful changes in your life, Brent's journey and expertise offer a treasure trove of wisdom. Join us as Brent shares the essence of the fallible man and how small, consistent efforts can lead to a remarkable life transformation. Let's get into it. All right, everybody, as an introduction, the amazing Brent Dowlin is here today. And Brent's the one I've known for, is it 3 years now, Brent?
I think it's three years.
Time flies when you're having fun with cool people. I had the honor of connecting with Brent, not only on his podcast, but then I had the opportunity to speak at his amazing conference called the Phoenix Conference. I'll let you talk about that in a little bit here. And, you know, just every touch point of interaction we've ever had has been so positive, but also uplifting. And also, you know, you're a father, you're an entrepreneur, you're someone who's committed and co-committed in a relationship with your spouse, your partner, your best friend, your wife. You know what I mean? Like I just know there's so many things that we share in common. And that's why this conversation has had me so excited for the last few weeks. Because I'm honored that you said yes to come on. You know, I know you've got a very full schedule. And if you guys haven't checked out the links in the show notes, be sure to check out the Fallible Man podcast. Holy crow. Amazing. There's never an episode that you're not going to learn something that's going to make a shift in your life. Like it's just not possible. So Brent, welcome today. And before we get started, just so everybody gets a feel for what Brent's all about, his quote, I love this quote, I'm going to read it. No BS, no illusions, no agenda. I am here to help you on your journey towards your best self. And I can honestly say that's 120% accurate. All right. That is just now Brent living his life. He's out there making a huge impact, not only in the local community, but also the global community. And we're going to talk about it because I know a lot of that is you got yourself to that level, it's self-education, your commitment to constantly educating yourself. So what were some of the initial challenges you faced in the self-education journey and how did you overcome them? And I mean, this obviously as it relates to also your life story, because I know there's been sort of triggers in that. So you feel free to start it where you like, but give us an overview of that. Cause I know it's not something that just happens automatically. You have great intentions with how you live your life and how you learn and grow. And I admire that so much. You were actually one of my inspirations for even wanting to start a podcast. And so having you here, I feel like it's full circle today. So anyways, Brent, you're up, man. Please tell us a bit about that.
Oh, man. You know, as you said, it's happened in chapters, right? I had a whole lot of years in the school of hard knocks. My mother actually used to tease me because she knew out of my siblings and I, I'm the one who's going to learn the hard way. It doesn't matter what she said or what my dad said. Like they can look me in the eye and be like, if you do that, your life is going to suck. And I'd still be like, I'll let you know how it goes. Right. If I determined I was going to do it, it didn't matter right, wrong. I had to go and find out for myself for so many years of my life. And so I spent a lot of years in the school of hard knocks, just beating myself up. Both physically and mentally and emotionally over the years through different aspects of my life. And it was easy because I had a goal I set one at 12. I actually set a goal for myself at the age of 12. My dad was a minister. And so I spent a lot of time at like, you know, the formal occasions, weddings, funerals, stuff like that. And at the age of 12, I decided my biggest goal in life would be that one day, when they chiseled it on my tombstone, it could honestly say good husband and father, right? Okay. That was my life ambition at the age of 12, was that would be an honest statement at the end of my life. And so, you know, over the years, I've tried a lot of things. I've been through a lot of things, but I got that way. My wife and I have been married now for 22, going on 23 years soon. And we have
congratulations. Congratulations. That's no small feat. So keep going. Keep going.
Sorry. We have two healthy children. My oldest daughter is actually fixing to turn 12 next week. And my youngest daughter is 9. And I have healthy, amazing daughters that are just the whole world to me. And, you know, that was a journey getting to that point. But a couple of years ago, I was just doing life, right? Had the house, dog, kids, wife, had the car, right? I had a pretty good white collar job in the IT sector. And I'm just going through the motions of my life. And I got confronted with something I didn't know, which was about finances, my financial situation. I got this email. It was like, hey, we moved your 401k from here to here. And I was like, well, hey, here's a link. I should see what that actually looks like. Because up until that point in my life, like that was 39 years old. 401k was just, they said an interview. No idea, right? I never actually paid attention to it. I had no idea.
Right.
And so I clicked on the link and found out that my 401k from my last company had rolled over and was just sitting in this money amount account. So I didn't lose anything, but for 6 years, that money had been sitting there doing nothing. Wasn't even gaining interest. Ooh, that's not the way that works. No one told me you had to go reinvest this stuff, right? I didn't know anything about finances. So I had this total freak out because it's like 6 years of this, like 10 grand just sitting there. Doing.
Wow. Yeah.
And then I started questioning, it's like, well, what about all the other companies I worked for? Where's all those other 401ks? Like, I really had no idea where any of them were. So it started this kind of journey of, where is all my money? Why didn't I know? Is it just sitting there too? Right. And I started questioning all these things. So I started this year long journey of learning, right? But that kind of snapped me into this moment of, I'm really just doing life. I become completely complacent. I've stopped challenging myself. I've stopped trying to improve. Like I stopped trying to level up at work or anything. And I was just kind of going through motions and I was loving it because I could focus on my wife and kids. My job didn't challenge me, but it's like, really, is this the best version of me? Is this what my wife deserves? Is this the dad my kids deserve? And then I went and looked in the mirror and said, don't I deserve more than this? Like myself, not just my wife and kids. Am I showing up the best for my wife and kids, but am I showing up for me? Because I've gotten complacent in so many things. And that it was that money thing that just kicked it off. But I spent that year just power diving, podcasts, books, interviews, newspapers. Like I just dug hard for a year and got to where I was investing my own money. I actually stopped letting my company invest my money because I realized they had lost as much money as I had put in the time I had been there. It's like, wow.
Oh, man, that's frustrating.
Yeah, we need to fire that account manager. He has no idea what he's doing, obviously. Either they're completely lying about matching funds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started actually pulling my money out of there and investing my own money. I just pulled out of my paycheck, started my kids in some investment accounts and started teaching them about finances because no one ever taught me. Mm-hmm. But then I started down that road of it's like, what all can I learn? Right? If I can learn about money, what else can I learn? And but it was like, I had to shake myself out of this complacency of just being comfortable and going through the motions that a lot of us fall into. And then I had to deal with, what do I focus on? Right. I had the shiny problem because like, all the things I can learn and do is like, well, what can I do? I became Superman overnight. And so now I'm going 45 different directions and not making progress on anything. Right. So that was mistake number two. First, I got too comfortable. Then it's like, okay, I do have the power to learn. I can change things in my life. I have this ability. And it's like, that's awesome. Then I went to the far extreme, of course, and went, I'm going to learn everything. And, you know, you make no progress that way, right? But I just really had to get honest with myself about where I was and what I really, really wanted in my life, right? And that 12-year-old goal has not changed. If I get to the end of this life, and you can honestly put on my headstone, good father, good husband, people go, yeah, he was. I've lived a good life, right? I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I don't have these grand designs of, you know, being the next whoever reshapes the entire globe. If I can help other people along the way, I want to. But this is what really sits at the heart of me. But it's like, what can I do? I'm going to be more. I want to be a better dad. And so I really had to start getting granular on my life. Am I physically as I should be to be a good dad and be a good husband? Am I as good of a employee or businessman as I should be, right? Yeah, we've got a house. My kids don't want for much.
Mm-hmm.
But could I do better? Could I give them more opportunities? Not so much in like the possession kind of thing. I'm not big into big possessions, but I want them to experience things. I want them to have experiences and make memories. And you can do that, but I can't do it as much as I would like to. And those memories are important to me. And so I started just getting really granular about what do I really want, right? And it started there with them. And what does it look like to be a good dad? What does it look like to be a good husband? What does it look like to actually show up for me? And now I'm armed with this idea that I can do it, because for a lot of my life, I didn't think I could. I thought, okay, man, I'm 40 now and I've learned what I'm going to learn. And this is kind of what my life's going to look like for the next 20 years. And I just resigned, and that's what it was. And
I got to say, though, you challenged the status quo, right? Because I mean, what you're referring to there is, it's not something that's uncommon through pretty much anybody that lives in a developed country, right? Like, it's very traditional, almost to the point, especially North America, where we're based, you know, like, it's that 40-40 plan, right?
Yeah.
40 hours a week, 40 years of life. Hopefully we get have enough to retire. And the way the economy looks today, it's like, yeah, no, I don't think so. Oh, you know, like, it's the 50-50, 60-60 plan, right? Like, it's remarkable. But the fact that you acknowledge that, but recognize it, but also now also support your kids with understanding sort of this predicament that a lot of us can find ourselves in. And I think it's really easy, because what you said too about collecting experiences rather than stuff, that's something that my family and I have very consciously and intentionally done the last 8 years, you know. But before that, we had stuff, and we're like, gosh, you know, the more stuff we have, it just feels like we don't own it. It owns us, you know, and, really, really frustrating too, because you feel like you got to just keep up with everybody else. And, at least that's what we felt like. And so hearing you say this, it just brings back my own memories. I got to say thank you to that. And, in you acknowledging this, I know you went to work to really set a new foundation for yourself, because obviously asking those questions, and it's not just rhetorical. I know you're programming your subconscious to always be thinking about that and searching for those responses and answers. What was the foundation that you ultimately decided to start with? Because, you know, coming to that shift and wanting to make this big change at 40 years old, I mean, that's significant. And what you've done is remarkable in such a few years. Can you sort of speak to that a little bit, so we can all get ideas of how we too might be able to re-solidify or get clear on the foundation that we need to catapult us into that next phase of life, you know?
One of my favorite questions, anybody who's known me for any length of time will tell you, I'm excessively obnoxious about the question of why.
Yeah.
I always, like, I want the granular answer of why, to the point where I piss off my friends on a regular basis. I've got one of them so worked out that now he goes through the stages on his own without me having to say it. Because he'll make a statement, and I just look at him with the duh look on my face. He's like, yeah, what? Blah, blah, blah. Why? Right. And I'll drill him down. I mean, you and I have had this conversation, right?
Yes.
The why behind the why. And I believe, I'm a big believer in the fact that most of us just coast through life without any, on autopilot. We don't have any reason why we do the things we do. For example, I eat Jif peanut butter, Jif creamy peanut butter, not the healthiest peanut butter in the world for sure. Why do I eat it? Because my dad ate it. Because we ate it together. My dad wouldn't eat any other peanut butter. Mama doesn't even like Jif. She likes like it be crunchy or something. I know that's what my wife likes. But my dad wouldn't eat anything else. That's what he grew up with. That's what he eats, right? Mm-hmm. I best foods mayonnaise. Why? Because my grandmother lived with us growing up, and my grandmother and my mother would only ever buy best foods mayonnaise. Right? Most of us through our lives with this impression of what we grew up with, right? Our surroundings, our circumstances, and we can chase this back to a lot of, like I use food as an example, but we can chase this back to a lot of things, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really big into getting granular when I talk to people about why. Why is this a good idea? Why do you want to do this? Why are you putting, and so I started putting the screws to myself on things like, right? To get down to a foundation, I had to really start putting the screws down on myself. It's like, why do I believe this? Why do I think? Why do I do it this way? Why do I don't do it this way? Why am I so closed-minded about this? Right. And I started really having to dig at me. And there were some really humbling moments in that, where it's like, wow, you're an idiot. You've been doing this for all these years. You don't have the slightest idea why you actually do that.
And then can you have an example of like one of those moments or when you have those realizations, like, was there any habits that, I see this a lot for many of us. We struggle with this. We have certain habits that have been solidified that it's like autopilot. Like you said, you know, subconscious just does it and we're not even aware of it sometimes, like unconscious snacking, right? Like I know I used to have a real challenge with that. And also because I was in my youth, very much an emotional eater. And so there's still that part of me, if my subconscious takes over sometimes and I see food there, especially things that are sweet and savory, I don't discriminate. I'm like, okay, going in my mouth, you know, and I don't even realize that I'm doing it sometimes. And it's just because it's that ingrained behavior, right? Mm-hmm. And when I started to question the why, of course, I got some professional help as well, not just with that, but with some other challenges. People are already aware of that. I'm getting into it. But it was able to unpack, and that's really was the exercise. We're trying to get to the root of, well, what, why do you have that belief that you have? Mm-hmm. And there, it is hard because ultimately you're stripping everything away. There's no hiding. You got to admit it, right? The good, the bad, and the, oh gosh. And so please continue, because I think this is fascinating, Brent. And I appreciate being vulnerable with us today to share about your own experience with this.
Well, and I can give you an example, right? Sarah will tell you, I drive her insane. I eat the same thing at every restaurant I'll go to. If I go to McDonald's, I know what I'm eating. If we go to Jack in the Box, I know what I'm eating. If I've been there more than once, my wife knows what I'm ordering. I don't even have to be there to order. Mm-hmm. She knows.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was just easy, right? I found something I wanted and I didn't want to try anything else because I paid for this. I don't want to pay for something I don't want. I went to this like really big restaurant here in the Pacific Northwest called the Rainforest Cafe.
Oh yes.
Years ago for my friend's birthday party. And like all these people were ordering these different things, more healthy stuff. I ordered a steak. I had this big old steak, right? It was horrible. It's the worst steak I've ever gotten at a restaurant.
I wasn't expecting you to say that.
It tasted like refried beans.
Talking
about $40-some-odd steak. It tastes like refried. I took two bites and I would not eat it.
Wow.
It was repulsive, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't like change. I like the comfort. And I don't want to possibly get the bad thing. So I'll eat the same thing for decades at the same restaurant without ever trying anything. And now for me is change, right? Now I do it, honestly, because I don't care enough about it to put the emotional energy into it to want to think. I'm very conscious of with all the things I try and juggle, with all the things I'm trying to accomplish, I know that I only have so much emotional and mental energy.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Zuckerberg or something that has like 6 t-shirts and they're all black?
Right.
Right. It's the same.
Steve Jobs had the same thing, all the turtlenecks, right? And Einstein had the same wardrobe, you know, like it's, yeah, there's some really impressive people that are in the world that, I mean, that thought leaders, right? But you're mm-hmm. absolutely right. They didn't want to waste any time, energy, mental thought or capacity
right.
around what they were going to wear every day. And so they just wear the same thing and they'd have multiples of that. And I find that super fascinating. You know, like it's like, that's that dedication,
man. At first, it was just purely out of habit because this is what I had always done.
Right.
And I tried a couple things, but then it was like, you know what? I know I like these. They've always worked for me. And honest to goodness, I don't care. It's McDonald's, right? I try not to eat there anyway. Really, I don't care.
Right.
My wife is always amazed at the, what's the right word? Because I'm going to say it wrong. People are going to think I'm weird. The lack of amount I actually care about anything. Is it just word apathetic? I always get wrong.
Apathetic. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. So it's sort of that lack of. I mean, you just really don't give it that energy. It's not, it's like it's a neutral feeling, right? It's like, yeah. Not positive, but not like
ambivalent.
Ambivalent. Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
Right. That I think, it's that I don't care. Right. If it doesn't actually, there are a lot of things that I just, they're not worth my time or effort.
But how do you get to that place? Like, because that's a lot of self-awareness as well, but also you've had to done the exercises to get to that level of clarity. You had to ask yourself a lot of whys to get to a place where you say, you know what, that doesn't matter anymore. I just really doesn't require any of my thought, or you know what I mean? Like, I don't remember the last time I actually memorized a phone number.
Right?
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean though? Like, I mean, nowadays I'm like, geez, like who, like I remember to the point where my phone died and I was like, I don't know how to get hold of anybody, you know, like,
I don't even call my wife.
My kids sell numbers. Like, they're my phone, they're my favorite section, but it's wild how just some of our habits and what we used to think and put a lot of weight into and stock just has changed because of how technology's advanced and we just don't need to. It's like certain things. It's like, I tell my wife and I joke about it. I'm like, she always laughs because like, we'll go, you know, you hear this sort of just random trivia and I seem to have a brain to remember useless facts, you know, and she's always amazed at it, you know, and her stance is like, I'll just Google it if I need to figure it out, you know, like, but there's a lot of people that take that approach now, right? Mm-hmm. But you're not just taking that approach because you've redirected that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I want you to finish what we're talking about, but I know this is a great segue into the Fallible Man philosophy, your podcast. And really, you know, after you establish this new foundation, I mean, you catapulted like literally into this whole platform that you've now developed, and the amount of energy, time and resources you've put in to do that is phenomenal. And it's not like something that you started 10 years ago, you know, like it's incredible, but that's that level of focus and clarity and really understanding that why. So, finish what we were talking about, but then please segue it into the Fallible Man, because I'd love for people to hear about this because I think it's inspiring, but I also know there's some great wisdom bombs you're going to throw down.
Okay. So yeah, it you're right. It isn't just one of those things you come to, right? When you hit that ambivalent state. And like I said, it makes me sound really bad on some things. My wife was like, we'll say something. I'm like, don't care. She'll make some random statement or tell me about somebody that she knows. And I vaguely, like, I recognize the name. I'm like, don't care. And it's horrible to an extent because, you know, if you're a very like super emotional, empathetic person, right?
Right.
You want to care about, I care about people I can affect. I care about people who my circle, right? People who I'm directly interacting with, people that we knew. I grew up my whole life moving. My dad was a domestic missionary in the United States. And so I've lived from coast to coast, quite literally. I went to high school in Wyoming. I graduated from somewhere in Mississippi I've never been to. I've lived in Texas, Virginia, Illinois, Washington. I mean, I've been all over the country. And with that, there's a lot of goodbyes, which was harder when I was here. But, you know, Facebook, one of the things I don't love about it is my wife will tell me about something about somebody we haven't actually interacted with other than on Facebook in 20 years. And I'm like, I don't care.
Beep.
Every now and then I'll see a post from one of the kids because used to be a youth minister. And so every now and then I'll see a post from one of the kids that I was a significant factor in their life growing up. And I look at it long enough to go, that's awesome. I knew she would do great. And that's about the level. That's right. That's it.
Moving on.
Right. And this comes from my background in training, in physical training.
Yeah.
One of the things I learned a long time ago is you only have so much when you walk in the door at the gym, right? And you understand this concept really well.
Yeah.
Right. If people want to put it in their head, think of walking in with a milk jug in your hand, a full milk jug. You walk into the gym and you take a pin and you punch a hole in the bottom of the milk jug when you walk in the door.
Dude,
that's what you got. That's it. When it's done, you're done. It doesn't matter which exercises you did or how hard you worked, even necessarily. Mentally and emotionally, which is what's helping with that physical, you have so much capacity and then you're done.
Period.
Right?
Yeah.
That started translating into the rest of my life. Like, where am I spending time and energy, both mentally and emotionally, and sometimes physically, that really is not doing anything for me? Right? I started weeding things like video games out of my life. I stopped playing. I played World of Warcraft from the time it came out for almost 8 years.
You and my brother must have played with each other. I swear. He was, dude, I don't even want to get started. Like, but they, I would not see him. I remember back in the day, wouldn't hear from him. Like, he's just like, he's gone. Oh yeah, there's an extension pack that came out.
Yeah.
He's like,
and for the next 3 weeks, he's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Well, so there's a feature in the game where you can type in the chat /played/played, and it'll tell you how much time you spent on that character total.
Oh gosh, that's scary.
It was, because I did that with all of my tunes and did the math. I lost 3 years of my life to gaming.
Whoa, are you serious? That's intense, man.
That's
commitment.
Wow. 3 years.
Wow.
I wish I could say that was an exaggeration. I didn't think I was like, to me, I was still a casual gamer. I was an elite level gamer, actually.
Wow.
I was one of the first people in the world into Ice Crown Citadel, which was the second expansion.
Mm.
One of the first players in the world to go into that place. I played it at an elite level and I realized how much I lost in that, right? I had a lot of fun. I made some great friends, some people I still keep in contact with. But I realized in 3 years, I did nothing for me, nothing for my team. Nothing for my real life. I wasn't making money. I wasn't getting paid to play.
Right.
This was before streaming was really a huge thing. And it's like, right. And I found that several years before I started this journey, but that was a way when I started looking at things to go, how much time am I spending watching television? How many shows? At one point I was keeping up with 14 different TV shows.
Wow.
The hours a week that turns into die, especially if you fall behind.
Sure. Yeah. Cause then you're binging to catch up, right?
I came home from work and I watched television and I went to bed. That's what I did to keep up with my shows. And so I really started looking at where my emotional and mental energy was going and what it was doing. And the more I started looking,
goes, energy flows, right? Yeah.
The more I looked at that, it was like, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I have clothes on. Good. I'm good. Right. I'll dress up for a formal occasion, but it's like, okay, otherwise I have jeans and t-shirt on. I'm good. Right. What I get at McDonald's, don't care. What are we doing this weekend? Don't really care. You know, I'm working unless you tell me I'm doing something else. My wife knows. unless she tells me we have plans, I'm either doing something with my wife and kids or I'm working. Those are the options.
Right.
Right. I put my time and energy now in places where I feel moved to go, where I feel like I'm making a difference with those assets, because that's the only thing that's finite, right? Mm-hmm. There's only so much I can pour in and so much energy behind that and so much time. But one thing I did take away from my dad over the years was I sat by so many deathbeds, people reaching out over the years. Right. And I listened to so many people lament the important things in life. There's actually a nerd.
Five Regrets of the Dying.
Nurse who wrote about it.
Yeah. And Bronnie Ware. Yeah.
Okay.
Five Regrets of the Dying. Yeah. I mentioned on previous episodes and my keynotes, I talk about it quite frequently because it was one of the most impactful books I think I've ever read, to be honest with you. It's up there with there's a couple other books like Viktor Frankl's books and a couple other, but I mean, that was so impactful. So please, expand on that because I think this is great.
I lived in this with my dad being a preacher, and my dad was a picturesque minister. There were jokes in the towns we lived in. You could not go to the hospital from that town without my dad coming to see you. Didn't matter if you were a member of the church that he preached at.
Yeah.
If you were a member of our community, he had contacts at the hospital who sent him names every week and say, hey, so-and-so from your town is there, because we live in these small towns.
Right.
And my dad was in the hospital visiting people from our town, mowing lawns. He'd drive around on his lawnmower and mow people's lawns so they didn't have to worry about it. And their family didn't have to worry about it.
Big dad's so awesome.
Right. So I spent a lot of time around older people and people towards the end of life. And I listened to them. No one ever said, I wish I worked more on this or that. Right. No one said, I wish.
Yes.
But over and over again, I heard people lament the relationships they dropped, that they didn't do more with their life, that they didn't work harder to stay connected with people or to serve more. It was never, I wish I had gotten a little higher in the company. It was, I wish I had done something more meaningful. And man, I've known millionaires who, right? And they put it square. I had one of them who was a family friend. And I asked him at one point, it's like, how do you share so readily? Because he let my sister take his Cadillac one day. He wanted to ride in the back of the Suburban with my parents so they could talk a little longer. So we stayed at their house and we're leaving today. We were all going to the same place for lunch. And he's like, will you guys take a brand new Cadillac, right? He's like, Brent, Katie's older, so she gets to drive. But you, I want you to figure out what all these buttons do and tell me, because I got no freaking clue. But he was like this with everything he owned. And he said, Brent, if I have something I can't share it with somebody, it means too much and it goes. The guy was loaded. But there was nothing he wouldn't give you. And all this just started putting this perspective in my life. So when I moved years forward to this, right, I started looking, I'm emotional. I don't have a lot of money at the moment, right? I'm not a rich guy. So I'm giving with what I have, but what do I have? I have my time. I have my energy.
Mm-hmm.
I have my caring, and that's what I can give. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we segue into the fallible man is.
Yes.
So years ago, we used to have friends over like every week. We'd have 12 to 14 people in my house on Thursday nights. And it was my wife and I's coworker friends and friends, and it was mostly women. One or two other guys, but it was mostly women. And I'd listen to them talk about, you know, their boyfriends or their husbands, and he's doing this or he's doing that, right? And I'd translate. I'm like, oh, no, what he's actually doing is this. And they were like, you need to write a book on this.
Mm-hmm.
About that. And anybody who's familiar with current philosophies on life, that's a loaded gun. Mansplaining anything to a woman is a loaded gun. And I also thought, it's like, is this the best thing I can do? Because it made me more aware of this disconnect and this frustration. I also have I got to count now. 9 or 10 nieces. And now I have 2 daughters.
Yeah.
And a lot of women in your life, man.
Yeah. A lot of women in my life. I grew up with a lot of women in my life. And I have 1 set of nieces. They're all in their 20s now. Right. Wow. And then I have all the way down to infants between the 2 sides of the family. But I started looking at them and I started thinking about all the teenage girls I worked with over the years and the frustrations with boys. careless boys, right? That's the term I would use. And careless with their emotions. And I thought about it and it's like, but were they, or did they just not know any better? Right. And so this idea started to morph into how can I help women by helping men?
Mm-hmm.
And then it just fall full of bore into, you know what? What we have control over is us. What I can affect is us. So how do I start helping men? Because we start fixing a lot of problems, right? I'm a big statistics guy. So we start fixing a lot of problems when we start getting men involved with young people in a healthy way, right? You look at dads, you look at the number of the statistics that come from fatherless homes. The dads are dads that just aren't really there, even though they're there physically. And it's like, huh. And you look at young men struggling with their problems with their emotions, their understanding how their feelings work and stuff like that. It's like, it's because their dads weren't taught how to do that, right? Who's teaching men that there's more to life than going to work? Who's teaching men that it's okay to put something into yourself and live a bigger life? I had a really good dad and he still could only teach me so much of that because that's what his focus was on faith. And I had an amazing father and he lived a huge life when it came to faith and loving us. There was never any question in my mind about that, but it's like, I had the benefit of having a dad who said, it's okay if I cry, avoid a fight if I can. But if I can't, you throw the first punch and you throw it so hard, they're not getting up.
Right.
My dad, 11 years old. So, you know, I had a dad who was okay with the emotional and mental aspects, very well-rounded. He cried in movies. We used to tease him all the time. Now I cry in movies and my kids tease me. It's a full circle there. But I had this benefit of having a dad who was always there and was always okay. And he understood when I started going through problems with anger issues in my junior high years and that, right? And he helped me find ways to get that energy out and process that in a healthier way. Even when that healthier way was me coming home and splitting wood. Like, he didn't make me split.
Right.
I came home and split wood because I needed to hit something. Right?
Yes. I have no challenge.
For being bullied in junior high. And so... I started looking at this giant, like my perspective on this ball of mess just got bigger and bigger. It's like, what can I do? Because this boils down to what can I do? I'm just Brent. So I actually started writing a book and then I started looking into self-publishing. It's like, okay, if anyone other than my mom or my wife is going to read this, I got to reach more people. So I did the smart, you know, thing you do. And I jumped on social media. Turns out I don't like social media. I'm not really great at social media because I don't like social media.
Right.
And it took about 2.5 weeks to figure out that was not going to be a good platform for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've grown up speaking. So I thought, hey, I can talk. Heck. I'll talk your ear off. So podcast is a good platform for me. I still haven't finished the book, as you know. But I've restarted it 3 times, but I haven't finished it yet. But it became, what can I do? Right. And the first thing I wanted to do was make sure that everybody knew I wasn't trying to pretend I had all the answers. Nobody likes that. Absolutely no one in the world wants to listen to that guy. I don't want to listen to that guy. And so we started with the fallible man. I wanted everybody to know really clearly, I'm not perfect. I'm on a journey. And I want you to come with me, right? I want you to come along and we're going to learn lessons together. And I'm going to bring people in to teach us lessons and I'm going to share some thoughts with you. And right. And we're just going to build this place where men can invest in themselves, where men can grow, where men can pursue the things they're meant to do. So many of us don't ever pursue anything bigger than that house, family, car, job. That's it, right? We've hit the pinnacle. Yay. The only bigger pinnacle is to make more money and have a bigger house and more spend. No, it's really not. And so we built this platform to focus on the very different aspects because men aren't two-dimensional, neither are women. But like I said, you know my feelings about mansplaining. So
they're
not two-dimensional. So everybody told me it was fail. Like I was told from the beginning I would fail. Absolutely.
What? That's crazy.
Oh, that's crazy.
I'm glad you've proven them wrong, man.
Yeah, I actually had a YouTube coach tell me I was absolutely going to fail. He said, I love your passion. I love what you're doing. From VidIQ, tell me I was going to fail.
What? That's ridiculous.
You broad. You're not niche enough. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, you know what? And I get that for YouTube.
Yeah.
But I'm not just a 40-year-old dad of daughters in a white collar. That's not just me. I'm deeper than that. So I can't make a product that just focuses on that guy.
Right.
There's more to him than that. And we got to address all those things. We have to give him the tools and the ideas and some concepts so he can tweak the things in his life that he needs to tweak. Because I don't know him.
Yes. Yes.
What you need to adjust in your life to live your best life, only you can decide. I can give you lots of tools and you can pick through my shows and find what's going to feed you to help build those desires and ambitions. But I can't just focus on this one thing because that's not a person. So sorry, well, that's a segue, but that's, yeah.
You know what though, Brent, I think it's important to address this because it's also, that's the best way to say this. I've seen the diversity of content on your platform, but it's still all geared towards one message, right? And it really stems. And I could see this so clearly because of that question you asked yourself at 12, right? Like, you know, basically, you know, what do I want on my tombstone, right? Mm-hmm. What do I want to be remembered at? You know, how do I want to leave my mark on this world? And, it's being a good man, a good father, a good husband. A good human being.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right because we all learn through two methods, predominantly two methods, and that's modeling and mentorship. And I find that that is what your platform does so beautifully well. And then, you know, when you started doing the conferences as well, it was just a massive extension of that, but it was able to bring all those people now that have become avid fans, but also student of your content. And I love it too, because you always put yourself forward as I'm a student too. You know, and I think that is why the empathy that comes through your conversations and just your vulnerability, like it's wonderful to see that being modeled as a man, you know, because it's just not happening enough as far as I'm concerned. It's happening more and more now. I mean, and I'm not going to go talk about the woke movement and all this other stuff. I'm not going to go there and I'm going to talk about male toxicity and blah, 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 blah.
Well, that's the problem, right? Pendulums.
Yes.
Right. If you look into male culture, you have one extreme or the other, right? We got the guys just thumping the old Tim Allen, right? I'm a huge Tim Allen fan.
So funny, man. I used to love
the grunting and growling and the guys, you know, saying eat raw meat and rah, 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 go their own. And then we've got the guys who are just like, men are bad. It's like, can we stop? Can we stop with this huge pendulum swing and just meet somewhere where we're all whole?
Thank you. Thank you. I love that because you're also creating a space for that conversation to be explored. And you know, because the theme of this show is this 2% solution. And then I'd love to talk about how it's aligned what we're both doing because I've seen this in action being someone that's been to your conferences, listening to your show for a long time. We've become fast friends, you know, we're both fathers of daughters. Like it's just, we become good friends. And I mean, it's amazing when you get around certain people and you vibe on the same level and you have similar aspirations. It's interesting how quickly things solidify, but also how motivating and inspiring it can be for that relationship. Because it's like, wow, you know, it's like, I'm not alone in this want and desire and goal. And it's just, that's the power of community, you know, and feeling like you really belong somewhere. And I know that's what you've been building, and you do it so beautifully well. And so how do you think your methods align with the 2% philosophy, 2% solution philosophy, as it relates to these small incremental changes of significant results, like four significant results? Because we know that this compound effect work great, both negatively and positively, right? And I know that this is also something that is underpinning a lot of the content you put out there, because you're empowering people to try the things that they're learning, you know? And so do you mind speaking to that for a minute or two?
Yeah, no, so when you named your show, I wanted to laugh, because it was like, we are so on vibe on this, because one of my biggest philosophies with the Fallible Man, one of the core tenets of our community and what I share with people, is the saying, be better tomorrow because of what you do today.
Right. And
put that down a step further. Yep. It's all I'm recommending to anybody is take one step today. Mm. Right. One step. Because this goes back to me, right? Educating myself on finances. I started because I got off my desk, because I worked in a very desk oriented job, and I would take my lunch break and walk around the building and just do laps around the building, because I realized I wasn't moving enough. Right. And then that went from me walking around the building, listening to music, to me walking around the building, listening to books and podcasts. Right. I started picking one thing that I was going to do better today. Maybe that was bringing my lunch instead of going to McDonald's, right? But I picked one thing. And as a personal trainer, right, you can align with this. We see things in our clients that they don't see themselves, right? I saw the rest time between their sets went down 30 seconds. I saw they didn't struggle as hard on that last rep of the last set. They didn't see plates go up. They didn't see numbers go up. I saw it, right? But we know that's the secret to getting stronger. Those are all the signs. You just don't see them as readily. It's the same thing. Can you imagine if you took one thing, right? Took one positive choice every single day, the compounding effect of one better choice 365 days a year.
Dude, the amount of change you would experience, but also that just surges of confidence through seeing that progress in your life. But the cool thing is, it's intentional progress. It's progress that you achieve through the work that you do. And actually, we're getting to the end here, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how long we've been jamming for. This is like, this is my marathon episode. What would be that one thing that you would encourage people, like, so what you've done, like, want to invite everyone that's listening right now, you know, they're resonating with what you're saying. They're like, yeah, I'm at a place in my life where I do feel like I'm ready to make some big changes. I don't know what I want to do yet, but I know I don't want to keep doing what I'm doing. You know, I know that I can't accept that anymore. The status quo has got to change. And that often involves personal change, right? And belief shifts, etc. And what would be an activity that we can encourage people that are listening to this right now to try for 30 minutes or less a day for a good solid 7 days to experience a little bit of what you've been sharing today?
Honestly,
yeah.
Find a podcast or book and listen for 30 minutes a day. And it can be on anything that gets you excited as far as you don't necessarily know where you want to go. You know you want change in your life. And you haven't isolated that why, you haven't isolated that foundation of what's important to you. So start experimenting with things that excite you. Maybe that's, you know, a book that helps you move forward at work. Maybe that's a book that helps you educate on something you've always wanted to do. But find a podcast, find a book, and listen to it for 20 or 30 minutes a day, right? 30 minutes a day is the 2% solution.
Yeah.
But start fishing for what actually moves you. Because you know it yet. So try and try and just change till you find something that starts moving the needle for you.
I love that. Yeah, because it's also, it's a simple, and I'm not saying easy, but it's a simple thing to commit to. And especially like the nice thing about podcasting and these types of platforms, like we can do it while we're doing something else. Like we can sort of cascade them. Like one of my favorite things is to go for a walk or a bike ride and just put on a podcast or an audio book or, you know, sometimes music. Yeah, of course. But a lot of times I like to get, because I find that I also retain the information, but I better connect to the content when I'm doing something physical. That's just me, you know, and, but I love what you've just shared. I think it's just so simple, but I also know when that lands with somebody and they stumble upon that, so I'm excited and that needle starts to shift. That's a whole new, perspective that opens up. And I got to say, everybody, you know, if you're going to commit to this for the next week, that
Fallible Man podcast would be a good one to listen to.
And so just throwing it on there. But, you know, I apologize. I'm going to have to get you back, Brent. We're going to get you back. So everybody, if you're thinking, hey, let's get Brent back again. Because I also know you might have some very specific questions and I hope you guys send those out my way. I'll make sure that Brent gets them. We can address those, but I'm going to definitely have Brent back in a couple months here because we basically just touched the iceberg, you know, just the tip today. And, but I want to give you the opportunity, Brent, to really leave us with some parting motivations, my message, you know, and then we'll also chat about how you can best stay connected with Brent and we'll get to that and we'll finish up today. And, I'm sorry, it feels like I'm rushing to finish here. And I'm like, my goodness, the time has just flown, you know, it's just flown. So, Brent, what can you leave with us today? If there was, you know, there's someone listening to this right now, they're struggling, they're feeling like how you felt a number of years ago, maybe feeling a little bit stuck or maybe like they're not seeing progress in life, but rather maybe even seeing some regression in life, you know, but they're not feeling fulfilled, joyful, happy with their day to day. What would be a great piece of advice you could leave them with today?
Well, you know, being a girl dad, let it go. Elsa nailed it. Mm-hmm. So many people are carrying so much weight from something they can't change, from the way they grew up, whether it's bad experiences, trauma, and we didn't even go, like, I can go down that road, right? But whatever it was, it happened yesterday. It's gone. You've got to learn to let go because it's a whole lot harder to move forward and add better things to your life when you're carrying all the crap with you.
Drop the mic. No, don't. You got an expensive one and mine's new. I don't want to break it. But well said. And that gets me excited now just hearing that. Like, it's just like, again, I just feel the vibrations in me when you spoke and you spoke to that. And, you know, I mean, today you covered a lot. We've covered a big span of Brent's life, but we've only covered some of the milestones. We haven't even got into the nitty gritty yet, but that's again, another reason why you want to listen to this podcast. Cause I got to tell you, there's one thing about Brent. He tells a great story and his podcasts are extremely entertaining from the story perspective, but that's how we all learn and how we remember is through storytelling. And so thank you for just constantly putting out such wonderful content and showing what's possible, not telling what's possible. There's a big difference. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you. And so thank you for being here today, Brent. And for those that want to really get a little bit of taste of what it's like to be connected with Brent, what was the best platform that you recommend? I mean, besides your podcast, and I know your affinity for social media isn't the best, but regardless, you do pretty well on Instagram. I see you putting up fairly regular content. So if there was a social platform for people to connect with beyond, along with following your podcast, what would be the best platform?
I would say Instagram right now is my focus. I'm trying to be more present on it. Because I'm not always on the best on it. So that's a great place to reach out to me because besides the regular posts, I throw a lot more open personal stuff in the stories as well. So if you want to see, you know, for yourself, this is who he is, really. That's all. I don't hide anything. So that's a great place to find me. I'm at the Fallible Man on Instagram.
Perfect. This is all in the show notes as well, everybody, along with links to the podcast.
There's a really cool episode with some dude from Vancouver on the Fallible Man podcast here, and he's been on there a couple of times. Forget the guy's name, but I think if you look it up, you'll find it.
Pretty you might.
Episodes. Yeah.
Yeah, featured episodes.
Just so we don't share it in there, huh? Anyway, I just got to say thank you. You know, and for everyone that listened and watched today, like, please recognize a lot of what we cover. These are just real life examples of how all of us are working through the changes that our hearts want to make. You know, I think we're always logically trying to work through change, but we really don't make the significant changes till the heart, like, and our emotional state aligns with the logical state. At least that's what I've experienced in my own life. You know, the emotions get us started, but the brain's going to keep us going. And it works back and forth. And so please do check out and connect with Brent. Check out the Fallible Man podcast. I know we didn't even get to touch on the conferences, but there's so much content around the conferences. And I know there'll be another one later next year, most likely. But I know what, I'm going to get you back once you've announced the next conference. We'll get you back on to talk all about just the conference and what men can look forward to, because I know I'll be there again, third year in a row. And I'm excited for it. You know, we're looking forward to it. So, any last words you'd like to leave us with today, Brent, before we go?
Be better tomorrow because of what you do today.
Thanks, Brent. Appreciate you being here, man. Much love to you and your family, and excited to have you back in the next couple months.
Oh, man, anytime.
That wraps up our enlightening conversation with Brent Thowlin, the visionary behind the FallibleMan.com and the Fallible Man podcast. Brent's journey and the wisdom he shared today are a testament to the power of embracing our vulnerabilities and turning them into strengths. His actionable advice provides a blueprint for anyone looking to make significant strides in personal development and lifestyle enhancement. If today's episode inspired you, we encourage you to take Brent's insights to heart and start incorporating them into your daily routine. Remember to explore more about Brent and his work at thefallibleman.com and tune into the Fallible Man podcast for regular doses of inspiration and practical tips. If you enjoyed our discussion, please subscribe to the 2% Solution podcast, share this episode with friends or family who might benefit, and leave us a review. Your support helps us reach more people and make a bigger impact. 1-2% shift at a time. Keep striving for improvement, and let's continue our journey towards becoming the best versions of ourselves together. See you next time.